Part 1. The Cognitive Revolution. Chapter 1. An Animal of No Significance. Everything came into being about 13.5 billion years in the distant past, during the Big Bang. Only physics can be used to describe this story. 300,000 years later, energy and matter began to form atoms and molecules. Chemistry relates the story of molecules and molecular interactions. 3.8 billion years ago, some molecules collected to build organisms on the planet Earth. Biology narrates the story of organisms. 70,000 years ago, organisms from the species Homo sapiens formed much more complex structures we now call culture. History expresses human culture's subsequent development. Human history is influenced by three incredible revolutions. The cognitive revolution that took place 70,000 years in the past, the agricultural revolution set at 20,000 years ago, and the scientific revolution a mere 500 years ago. This book explains how these revolutions have affected humans and other organisms on the planet. Humans, animals of the genus Homo, have existed long before history, and they lived with animals for a long time without standing apart from them. Biologists group and name organisms by their genus and species. Animals are from the same species if they mate and give birth to offspring that can bear children. We are called Homo sapiens, of the genus Homo, man, and species sapiens, wise, and we belong to the family of great apes. It's believed that 6 million years ago, a female ape gave birth to two daughters. One became the ancestor of all present-day chimpanzees, while the other became Homo sapiens' grandmother. Humans first evolved in Africa 2.5 million years ago, from a previous genus called Australopithecus, or southern ape. 2 million years ago, these early humans left Africa and traveled to Europe and Asia. Because of the varying conditions in settlement places, humans evolved. Those in Europe and Western Asia became Homo neanderthalensis, or Neanderthals, man from the Neander Valley. Those in Eastern Asia became Homo erectus, upright man. Those on the island of Java in Indonesia became Homo soliensis, man from the Solo Valley. Last but not least, those in Flores Island became Homo floriensis. Of these, Homo erectus survived the longest. While these humans were in Europe and Asia, the ones left in East Africa continued to evolve into numerous species, such as Homo rudolphinus, man from Lake Rudolph, Homo ergaster, working man, and eventually Homo sapiens, wise man. As you can see, human evolution is not linear. From about 2 million years up to 10,000 years ago, several human species coexisted. Humans have large brains compared to their body size, which uses 25% of the body's entire energy supply. In comparison, other apes only need 8%. This bigger, energy-hungry brain came at a price. Humans had to spend more time getting food, and their muscles atrophied. Despite this, the human brain has proven to be an asset for the Homo sapiens. Another thing that worked to our advantage is our ability to work upright. It freed our hands so we were able to do more things, like signaling and tool production. Again, this had some drawbacks. Humans lost their superior vision, and we can have problems such as stiff back and neck because of our extra-large head. Women have more of the burden. An upright gait requires narrower hips, but human babies' heads are bigger. Because of this, evolution favored earlier births when their heads were still supple. Thus, humans are born helpless, unlike other animals' offspring. The result of this is that humans became social creatures who can take care of each other. Ancient humans were at the middle of the food chain up to 400,000 years ago, and they reached the top 100,000 years ago. Normally, animals at the top of a food chain only achieved the feat after millions of years, while humans reached the peak comparatively quickly. Hence, the rest of the food chain and the humans, likewise, aren't used to this. Thus, we're prone to making bad decisions throughout history. The domestication of fire, estimated to start from 80,000 to 300,000 years ago, and cooking food may have enabled humans to evolve a big brain, while eliminating parasites and preparing food permitted the humans to eat different types of food. It also allowed a smaller intestinal tract, which allowed the brain to grow bigger. Aside from this, using fire as a weapon increased humans' edge over other animals. Even if early humans learned to use fire for their benefit, they were still marginal creatures around 150,000 years ago. Scientists don't know when Homo sapiens first evolved from other human types, but they agree that 150,000 years ago, East Africa was populated by them. They also agree that 70,000 years ago, they spread from East Africa to the Arabian Peninsula and to the Eurasian landmass. When Homo sapiens reached Arabia, most of Eurasia was already populated by other humans. There are two main theories of how Homo sapiens evolved. The interbreeding theory says that sapiens bred with Neanderthals, while the replacement theory states that they killed them off. It's also possible that a combination of these two have occurred. Eventually, many species of humans have become extinct, except Homo sapiens. The author says that Homo sapiens have settled so rapidly in diverse habitats, pushed other species to extinction, and conquered the world because of its unique language. Chapter 2: The Tree of Knowledge. 70,000 years ago, Homo sapiens left Africa for the second time, but this time they drove all other human species into extinction. In a short time, sapiens reached Europe and East Asia. They crossed the sea and landed in Australia 45,000 years ago. The period between 70 to 30,000 years ago has seen the invention of boats, oil lamps, needles, bows, arrows, art objects, and so much more. During this time, the first concrete evidence of religion, commerce, and social stratification appeared. Most researchers believe that these accomplishments were the product of new ways of thinking and communicating among Homo sapiens. This marks the cognitive revolution. They are not sure why this happened, but some believe that it's caused by random genetic mutations that changed the wiring of the brain of Homo sapiens. This can be called the tree of knowledge mutation. Although animals have a form of language, Homo sapiens' language enabled them to communicate, store, and absorb a vast amount of information about the environment. With this information, the members of the tribe can brainstorm and cooperate with one another on various tasks. Gossip is another byproduct of this unique language. Because social cooperation is essential for the survival of Homo sapiens, survival and reproduction, individuals needed to know about their companions, such as who is trustworthy and who is not, who is an enemy, who are mates, etc. Only Homo sapiens can discuss things that are not tangible, such as fantasies, legends, myths, deities, and religions. The ability to talk about fiction is unique in Homo sapiens' language. Fiction has allowed Homo sapiens to imagine things individually and collectively. Telling stories and myths allowed numerous individuals to cooperate in a variety of ways. Members of a coalition spend time together and help each other. The number of members that can be formed and maintained has limits. For a group to function well, all group members must know each other well. Chimps are unable to form groups with more than 50 members. As the number increases, the social order decreases and fractions form. The human groups can reach around 150. These groups are bonded by interaction and communication, which includes gossip. Beyond this number, it's hard to maintain cohesiveness from communication alone. Fortunately, humans manage to work in groups comprised of 1,000 members and beyond because of common myths. Thus, members of the same state, religion, tribe, and city can collaborate on the same goal, even if they haven't met each other before. This is because they can agree on things like religion, laws, justice, nations, human rights, and money, even if these things only exist in their collective imaginations. These enabled people to trade and to build corporations. Since the cognitive revolution, humans existed in the physical and imagined reality. As time went by, the imagined reality became powerful enough to affect how people think and act. How a group of people works with each other can be affected by changing the stories that they believe in. As an example, the French population changed dramatically in 1789 when they stopped believing in the myth of king's divine rights and believed in the myth of the people's sovereignty instead. At the end of the cognitive revolution, Homo sapiens were able to modify their behavior rapidly when their needs changed. They didn't need to wait for millions of years for a genetic or environmental change to happen. Thus, they zipped past all other human and animal species in their ability to cooperate with each other. Chapter 3. A Day in the Life of Adam and Eve. According to evolutionary psychology, our psychology and social characteristics are shaped during the pre-agricultural era. Even if modern technology has increased our lifespan and gave us access to more material resources, we still have the minds of a hunter-gatherer. Thus, to understand things about us like our eating habits, sexuality, and conflict, it helps to look back in history on how things were thousands of years ago. For instance, craving high-calorie foods are embedded in the DNA. Food rich in calories used to be rare and hard to find. So the instinct to immediately consume it is programmed into the genes. Modern times have made food readily available, but the instinct has remained. Thus, people are prone to overeat. Ever since the agricultural revolution, humans didn't have a predominant way of life. There are vast cultural differences even among people living under the same ecological conditions because of the ability to create different imagined realities, values, and norms. Before the agricultural revolution, Homo sapiens tribes were isolated from one another, even though they participated in a common activity every once in a while. They were nomadic, moving from place to place to find food. Tribe members were close to one another, and they didn't have much privacy. They were also less lonely. They first learned to tame animals by domesticating dogs 15,000 years ago. These dogs helped them to hunt food and provide security. Eventually, they managed to tame other animals as well. In places with plenty of food supplies, the tribes settled seasonally and sometimes permanently. Food preservation techniques enabled them to stay longer. Fishing villages were one of the first settlements, and they may have initiated transoceanic journeys, such as the invasion of Australia. Ancient humans did not only forage food, but knowledge as well. They were more aware of their physical environment as compared to us. Contrary to common belief, they were not unintelligent. Currently, humans now know more than what our ancestors 15,000 years ago knew. However, as individuals, our knowledge is highly specialized into a few things. Thus, we have to rely on other experts whose knowledge are likewise specialized. Scavengers worked fewer hours in a week compared to the modern humans, and were fitter than modern humans too. Thus, the author argues that we've made a mistake when we turned away from this way of life. Aside from this, agriculture and industry made it easier for people to depend on one another, to survive, instead of being self-reliant like the old times. Researchers don't know much about foragers' religion, but they theorize that they were animists who believe that every plant, animal, place, and natural phenomenon has feelings and awareness. They also did not know much about their socio-political world, but fossils and artifacts hint at how it might have been years ago. Chapter 4. The Flood. Humans traveling across the sea and arriving in Australia 45,000 years ago is considered as one of the most important expeditions. It's the time when humans scaled the food chain. After a few thousand years, 23 out of 24 animal species in the continent became extinct. 800 years ago, the Maoris colonized the New Zealand islands, and their arrival also marked the disappearance of most of the animals there. Mammoths in Wrangel Island in the Arctic Ocean were wiped out 10,000 years ago when Homo sapiens spread over Eurasia and North America. This reveals that sapiens have a destructive effect on the ecology of the place they inhabit. It's theorized that they burn forests to create farmlands, thus contributing to mass extinctions. Because Homo sapiens learned to create clothes and shoes against the winter, they could migrate to colder places, like Siberia, even if their bodies were adapted to conditions in the African savanna. They gradually reached the eastern United States, the Mississippi Delta, Mexico, and Central America, when the global temperature rose and glaciers, blocking their way, melted. The settling of the humans in America represents the most rapid invasion of a single species. By 10,000 BC, Homo sapiens occupied the entire landmass of America. Within 2,000 years after their arrival, most of the species in it were gone. Other ecological disasters took place in almost every island across the seas. The first wave of extinction took place during the invasion of the foragers, while the second wave extinction came with the spread to the farmers. The third wave extinction is currently being caused by industrial activity. During the cognitive and agricultural revolutions, only the land animals were affected by human activities. However, in our modern day, sea animals are also doomed because of pollution and overuse of oceanic resources. If this trend continues, the only survivors of the human flood will be the Homo sapiens. Part 2. The Agricultural Revolution. Chapter 5. History's Biggest Fraud. For 2.5 million years, Homo sapiens consumed food that grew without their intervention. They spread from East Africa to the Middle East, Europe, Asia, Australia, and America, gathering plants and hunting animals. That changed 10,000 years ago, when they began to manipulate plant and animal species to gain more grain, fruit, and meat, which heralded the dawn of the agricultural revolution. The agricultural revolution rose independently in several parts of the world. Various plants and animal species were domesticated. Goats, dogs, wheat, peas, lentils, olive trees, horses, grapevines, camels, cashew nuts, and more. By 3500 BC, the main wave of domestication halted. Nowadays, 90% of calories come from what our ancestors have domesticated, around 9,500 to 3,500 BC. These are wheat, corn, rice, potatoes, barley, and millet. Our minds are from hunter-gatherers, while our cuisine is from ancient farmers. Not all plants and animals were suited for domestication, though, as agricultural revolutions only occurred in places where sapiens have managed to domesticate the flora and fauna. Scholars have claimed that the agricultural revolution was a significant leap forward for humanity because it produced more intelligent people. However, there's no evidence that modern humans became more intelligent through time. Ironically, the first few thousand years of the agricultural revolution made life harder, because it created more work, less time for leisure, and an increasing population that required more food. It also turned some individuals into elites that were pampered by workers. These unfavorable conditions were not caused by people, but some plant species that includes rice, wheat, and potatoes. The author claims that they domesticated Homo sapiens rather than the other way around. Because human bodies were not adapted to farming, various ailments like slipped discs, hernias, and arthritis plagued farmers. Also, it forced them to settle and guard their farms, even if they can get better food through hunting and gathering. Agricultural village life did provide benefits, though. It protected people from wild animals and harsh weather, and it caused people to be less violent to one another. The agricultural revolution didn't improve the life of the average person at first. However, it did enable humans to gather more food per unit area. Thus, the overall population increased exponentially. Even if individuals were not really happier or healthier, they were able to pass on more genes, Thus, the agricultural revolution can be considered as an evolutionary success, even if it was a trap. Each generation didn't notice how things were becoming worse, because these changes were gradual. They didn't see that becoming too dependent on wheat robbed them of nutrition, forced them to work harder, and required them to guard their storehouses. They didn't return to the old ways because working on the farm took a lot of time. They just thought what they were doing a good thing by making a lot of food. In history, luxuries tend to become necessities that create new obligations. When people learn to enjoy the new luxuries, they become dependent on them. The agricultural revolution's evolutionary success, a greater population, was the cause for much suffering inflicted upon humans and domesticated animals, such as chickens, pigs, cattle, and sheep. These animals are often treated cruelly. Similar to Homo sapiens, even if the cattle are continuously bred and are successful evolutions, it does not mean that they're happier. Chapter 6. Building Pyramids. The agricultural revolution has created people who are greedy and who are alienated from nature and their fellow humans. It's caused people to be stuck in places that are good for yielding crops, forcing them to stay on a mere 2% of the Earth's surface. This revolution became the time when worrying about the future became common. Before this, people were rarely concerned, since they couldn't do much about it. The advent of agriculture meant that people can do something about the future, and thus they gained more obligations. Farming became the basis of large-scale social and political systems. Unfortunately, the peasants did not achieve future economic security. Elites and rulers lived off the surplus food the farmers produced and gave back very little. Food surplus and transportation technology enabled people to live together in large villages, which grew into towns, cities, and kingdoms. These alone were not enough to make them live together effectively, though. An imagined order must be made to make thousands of people believe in the same ideas, for them to understand one another and to work towards the same goals. To make people believe in an imagined order, it should not be admitted that it's imaginary, but an objective reality dictated by the laws of nature, or by the gods. It should also be incorporated into education, and to everything that people encounter, to fairy tales, songs, architecture, fashion, political propaganda, etc. It's quite difficult for people to realize that the imagined order is indeed imaginary, because it's reflected upon material reality. It shapes desires, and it exists as an intersubjective reality that's maintained by several thousands of people. The myths surrounding us and making up our lives influence a lot of what we believe in and what we do. A lot of people spent their lives building pyramids of varying names, sizes, and shapes, depending on the culture, even if they were not sure why they did so. To change the imagined order, it should be replaced by an even more powerful order. And that's why there's no way out of it. Breaking down the prison wall simply means escaping into the yard of a bigger prison. Chapter 7. Memory Overload. Sapiens' social order is imagined, so they can't preserve the information by embedding it in the DNA and passing it to their children. Because of this, they need to consciously make efforts to preserve the social order by sustaining laws and customs. Empires generated vast amounts of information which went far beyond what individuals can memorize. Thus, humans searched for a way to keep information so they do not become dependent upon individual brains, and the answer to their problem, writing. Aside from storing information, writing was invented to record numbers, because human brains did not evolve to handle numbers well. It's much more suited for remembering zoological, botanical, social, biological, and topographical information, because of sapiens' evolutionary history. To overcome the problem of storing large amounts of data, including numbers, the Sumerians invented writing between 3500 and 3000 BC, Writing changed man's thought process and has enabled us to keep records and think categorically. It has preserved information beyond what the mind can retain and the genes can encode. The first Sumerian historical texts were limited to figures and facts. They are economic documents detailing things like property ownership, tax payments, and debt accumulation. This is because writing consumed a lot of time and there were only a few who could read. Sumerian writing started out as a particular script that could not fully express their language but dealt with limited functions, such as recording figures and performing calculations. Gradually, more signs were added to it until it evolved into a full script, known as cuneiform script. Since then, more documents were written. Aside from the Sumerians, different cultures invented their own system of writing. They also found ways to archive, catalog, process, and retrieve records. Because of writing, Homo sapiens began to think differently. They learned how to think beyond free association and to think categorically. They also gained the ability to handle numbers. Chapter 8. There's no justice in history. Humans had organized themselves in networks, requiring mass cooperation by creating scripts and imagined orders. These orders were not fair because they divided people into groups that were ranked in a hierarchy. The top levels had power and privileges, while those on the bottom were oppressed and discriminated. Examples include the caste system of India and racial discrimination in America. The imagined hierarchies are put in place by dominant people to preserve their position in society. To make people accept these structures, mythology, laws, and assumptions are quoted. The hierarchical ranks are deliberately separated from each other to keep everyone in their proper place. Intermarriages are prohibited and the rise of status of a low-ranking individual almost never happens. Hierarchies tend to create vicious cycles that can go on for hundreds or even thousands of years. For instance, Americans imported the blacks from Africa because they were cheaper and fitter. These slaves were often treated harshly and labeled as an inferior race. This made them rebellious, prompting the whites to set discriminatory laws to control them. Due to these laws, the slaves grew poor and remained uneducated. The people developed cultural prejudices about them, leading to more discriminatory laws and dire conditions for the blacks. There is also inequality among the genders. Historically, men were treated better than women, with some cultures even considering wives as the property of their husbands. Men dominated ruling positions while women were not allowed to vote for a long time. A few theories have attempted to explain this gender inequality. One says that men have evolved to be more dominant than women because those who are not strong enough get killed off more easily. Also, their greater power meant that they were better in manual labor, such as plowing and harvesting. Thus, they were in control of the food supply, giving them a political clout. They could have easily forced women into submission as well. This is problematic because physical power does not always translate to social power.